Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103, 5 Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding 2401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and around.
484 suspect, is female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, 5 Frank, 401 is a route.
Welcome back to this edition of On the Legal Side. And today we are talking about being an agent of a security company or a business, a client, the duties and scope of authority of an agent, the roles of an agent. Remember, the agent carries out only the duties and responsibilities in the same manner as the employer or contractor would. They don't make up the rules. They're not really decision makers. They don't really negotiate prices, salaries, benefits. They are there to act in the best interest of their employer, contractor, whoever it might be that appointed or hired the agent in the first place. So, security officers, private investigators, bouncers, really all forms of public safety are agents. They're agents of the property, agents of their employer, which means that when you are working on site, you have the authority within the guidelines. Now, don't go all crazy. Don't go, you know, all wild about your authority. You have limited scope of authority under the direction of the owner. You can act as if you were the owner on his behalf. But you're limited to directives, to policies, to duties, to assignment. And I'll give you an example that we gave recently in one of our trainings. If you're a loss prevention agent and you're working at a shopping mall or a big box store, and they tell you that you can apprehend a shoplifter any place on the property, but don't leave the property. Don't chase people across the road. And you do chase people across the highway or off the property, then you're acting outside of the scope of authority. And if you were to be clobbered by a passing vehicle, if you were to be injured, if you were to fall and break your head, well, even though you were an agent for the property, an agent for the employer, at this point, because you're operating outside of the scope that you were originally given, the authority that you were originally directed to, you might not be covered by workers' compensation. You might not be covered by insurance, and you could even be fired because even though you were acting in the beginning as the agent of the property, you made up your own rules. You knew that you shouldn't have left the property. You shouldn't have chased that person across the road, but you did. So remember, as an agent, you have to specifically stay within the boundaries, within the guidelines given to you by your client, your employer. Agents are directed. They don't direct. Someone once told me that agents were like puppets. You know, the employer pulls the strings, and the agents jump and do the commands that they're directed to do. And that's kind of how it is. Agents make decisions within the limits of their duty. Again, going back to the retailer, if the loss prevention agent caught a shoplifter and it was policy to call the police for every shoplifter, and the agent decides, well, this guy looks like a nice guy. He sounds like a nice guy. I'm sure it was just a mistake, and he was he's all regretful, and I'm just going to let him go. Well, the agent would be making a decision outside of their scope of authority. It wouldn't be acting in the best interest of the employer. It wouldn't be acting like the employer would act, because he would call the police for every shoplifter. That's what he wants done. So as an agent, you have to be very careful not to make up the rules. Very careful to carry out every single directive as if you were the owner, the employer, the main principal. You can't just go hog wild and do your own thing. You know, athletes, they have agents. Whether you are a professional athlete or you are an athlete in a local baseball organization, many times they have agents, and agents have to act in good faith. They can't just come up with some type of agreement or some type of money amount that is, with, you know, not in good faith. They can't just do anything outside of the contract. They have to abide by what the athlete has told them. Agents, remember, do not write policy. They do not make the rules or the laws. They seldom make independent decisions or act in their own best interest. It's all about acting in the best interest of who? Of the client, of the person who hired you, specifically doing what they have told you to do. As a security officer, if you are employed with a contract agency, then you are an agent of both the proprietary, both the contract security company as well as the client that the security company is contracted with. So you have kind of a catch-22 situation. The client might want you to do XYZ, but your real employer, who is the contract agency, wants you to do EF&G. You have a very thin line that you have to walk, because the contract agency ultimately is your employer. And I know, I've been in this situation where you're on site, the client wants you to do this, that, and the other thing, but it's not within the scope of your authority, not within the scope of your duties. And although you're trying to act like the agent, you're trying to be a good employee, you're an employee of the contract agency, not of the client. So you have to get that authority. You have to call your employer, the contract agency, and say, hey, the client wants me to do blah, 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 but you told me not to, or you told me something different. What do you suggest? What do you want me to do? Agents of the property, no more and no less than the agreement. And if you're not sure what the agreement is, you have to get it in writing. Part of your agreement, part of your specific, part of your guideline, part of the parameters set up, if you're a contract security officer, comes from SOPs, Standard Operating Procedure. What does your policy say? What does the rules say? I often use this example in my training. A number of years ago, a security officer at a hotel allowed some people to swim in the swimming pool after hours. It was a very hot, sticky night in the south, and the security officer, instead of locking up the pool, allowed some people to use it. A young boy drowned, and the hotel and the security officer, you know, were culpable. They were liable for that death. The security officer was acting as an agent, but at the point where he failed to lock the pool, he made up his own rules. He extended the rules. He didn't act within the best interest of his employer or the client. and ultimately the hotel and the security company was found liable. You have to do specifically what you have been told to do or what is within the realm of your agreement, within the scope of your authority. Agents can do anything within the law that their client so desires. Whether you're a talent agent or a realtor, a real estate management agent, whatever type of agent you might be, you can do whatever the client wants as long as it's within the law. Once you break the law, well, that's a whole different story, and I don't think the agreement or contract would be valid at the point that you actually are committing illegal acts. But agents of the property, security officers are definitely agents of the property, and again, they don't make up the rules and regulations. They enforce them and act within the guidelines of their employer. It can be very tricky, and there's a lot of liability issues involved in being an agent. As long as you have a solid agreement, contract, some kind of SOPs, if you're in the security business, then you're pretty much going to be covered. It's when we don't have those SOPs, when we don't have written contracts, that it gets very muddy and murky, because you can do one thing, your employer or client can say, well, that wasn't within the scope of his authority. He was not acting as an agent for me at that time. So it's very important to get things in writing. If you're acting independently, then get a contract. If you're acting as a contract security officer and you're employed by a company or a proprietary business, you want to make sure there's some SOPs, some standard protocols in writing so that you can use those as your guidelines. Agents of the property, agents of a company, agents of a security business. That's what you do. You act within the scope of your authority in the best interest of your employer or the client. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of On the Legal Side. Join us every Monday and Thursday morning. Welcome back to this edition of On the Legal Side, and today we are talking about being an agent of a security company or a business, a client, the duties and scope of authority of an agent, the roles of an agent. Remember, the agent carries out only the duties and responsibilities in the same manner as the employer or contractor would. They don't make up the rules. They're not really decision makers. They don't really negotiate prices, salaries, benefits. They are there to act in the best interest of their employer, contractor, whoever it might be that appointed or hired the agent in the first place. So, security officers, private investigators, bouncers, really, all forms of public safety are agents. They're agents of the property, agents of their employer, which means